Turn with me, if you would, to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. And if we can read from the beginning of the chapter. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord and one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And we want this evening to take a look at the words that we have in verse 16. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now this morning we considered and we sought to think upon the love of the Father in sending Christ into this world. Israel, Jacob sent Joseph to search out his brothers in Shechem. Joseph went down and sought them out, even though they were undeserving of any of the love of Jacob or of Joseph. Yet we see the love of Jacob magnified towards these brethren. We considered how God the Father has loved his son. Just as Joseph was the one that Jacob loved above all, so it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one beloved of the Father. We sought to consider this morning how it is essential to the very nature of God that he loves the Son. He has loved him, and he is the Son of his bosom from all eternity, as one who was raised up with him. That love between the Father and the Son. What love there is in the Trinity when we see magnified that love. When the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is the Son of his bosom. But as we sought to show this morning that with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, with his being conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary and in his being born, there is there a magnification of that love before our eyes. In the Garden of Eden, the bond of unity that united Adam in his unfallen state and the whole of creation at peace, and the very unfallen angels. It was the love of God that was the bond that united everything there. But with the fall and with hatred coming into this world, an enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, with the fall entered not only death, but enmity and a hatred towards God and the things that belong to God. But with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and with His being born into this world, we see the love of the Father once again to Him in our nature as the mediator. Not simply as the second person of the Trinity, but as the mediator in our nature, God loving the Son. As Isaiah says, "Mine elect, in whom my soul delights." God loves the Son. He delights in the Son. And it is not just that that is foretold in the Old Testament. It is also that the very heavens themselves are opened and declare the very purpose that God has in this world, and that is declaring and showing His love as it is magnified and seen in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, the love that God has to His people, and a love, such a love, that He sent His own beloved Son into this world. What greater love can you see demonstrated by God the Father than that He has given His own beloved Son into this world? And while He is in this world, we see the love of God manifested and magnified in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is the love of the Father to the Son, and there is the love of the Son to the Father. The Son has loved the Father and has come to do the will of the Father, and delights in doing all that the Father would give Him to do. He loves the Father. But we also see, and we considered this morning with Joseph being willing to come, and not only to do it as a matter of duty, but actually to go and find his brethren in Shechem, showing to us that there was a love of Joseph to his brethren. So it is that the Lord Jesus Christ not only magnifies the love that He has to the Father, but He loves His own, and He loved them even unto the end. He has loved them, and He's loved them unto the end. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep, for the flock. Herein is love, that He gave Himself for His people. I thought this evening that we may continue on something of the thought and the subject that we had this morning, and that is the love of God to Christ, the love of Christ to the church. And we see Paul, when he writes to the church at Ephesus, that the true church of Christ magnifies the love of God. Here is the bond that unites the house of faith, household of faith. It is love. Love to God and love one to another. That is why the apostle here, when he speaks about the church, and he gives us a wonderful description of what the church is, and the description that the apostle gives here may be at variance with the idea that today might prevail in many places as to what is the Church of Christ. But here the apostle gives us a wonderful description, giving us even a metaphor of Christ as the head and the church the body, and the love of God proceeding from the Father through Christ to the body, and that the body itself is being edifying of it to the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's how the apostle here puts it. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. The increase of the body edifying of itself in what? In love. There is the uniting bond that unites the Lord's people. That unites the Lord's people not only to Christ, but to one another. It is love, edifying of itself in love. Not just faith, but in love. That is the uniting bond that the apostle speaks of here. Let us then, first of all, take a look at how the church is described. Let us see how he speaks of the unity of the church and how he describes the church of Christ. He speaks of the church as being one, as being united. Elsewhere in his epistle to the Corinthians, he says, you are one body, you are members in particular, but remember this, the Lord's people, they are one body, they are one together, they are united together. It's a subject that very often today is neglected, perhaps neglected at our cost, because we should always remember that as the Lord's people, we are united one to another, spiritually united as one. Look at how the apostle puts it here. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he goes on then to speak about how in the church there is diversity. When Christ ascended up unto high, he received gifts for men. Some will be prophets, some will be evangelists, some will be pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. United, the unity, one purpose in the church of Christ. And look at how he speaks of this church. He speaks of the church in these there fitly joined together. From whom the whole body, he says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things. Unto who? Unto Christ, which is the head, even Christ. And then he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Fitly joined together. It is as though they are knit together as one. One body brought together. You look at one writer on this, who himself was a doctor. He says here that the fitly joined together, and he's talking about joints. And he says if you ever see a joint, one end there is the ball, and the other end of the bone, it fits into its own place, into the round hole. And he says they're smooth, so that they can rub and they can work together. That's the way, he says, the church is. Just like the joint, the ball of the bone going into the hole of the bone and being able to work together. He says that's That's what the apostles think. That's how the church is. But you might think that that's a bit mechanical. And the apostle doesn't leave it there as though it's something just mechanical. He says that's the way the church is. It is joint. It is fitly joined together. Fitting just like a joint. Able to move. Smooth. Running together. But it's not just mechanical. Like the arm being able to move or the joints being able to move. He also says, and compacted together. Compacted together. They are so joined together and held together and knit together that there is not just a mechanical unity, there's a mental unity. They are of one mind. They are of one affection. They are of one sympathy. The Lord's people have minds united together in this one love. Isn't it wonderful when the apostle is able to speak of the church of Christ? He doesn't speak simply, he speaks earlier on, of course, in terms of organization. Pastors, ministers, and so on. But he says this is the church of Christ, united together, almost like a joint, moving together with the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, supplying all the life, and compacted together, one mind, one body, united as one. How it is that when the apostle speaks here, and when the Bible tells us about the love of God, the love of God in the Trinity, the love that the Father has to the Son in eternity, that love that He has, which is manifested when the Lord Jesus comes into this world, and when He says, here is the one in whom my soul delights, that in Christ, the church which is His body, there is the manifestation of that love, uniting the Lord's people together to be one, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You know, he's talking here and he talks about there being one, some pastors, some evangelists, and so on. He talks about that, but now he's coming down into members in particular. And although it might be important that it is the work of the ministry and of prophets and of evangelists and pastors and teachers is a great gift from God. Yet look at how he comes here to speak about the body. There is no part of the body that is redundant. There is no part of the body that is discounted. Every part of the body has its own place. And the life of Christ coming into the body enlivens and ought to enliven the whole congregation of the Lord's people. Indeed, it is the very purpose that the Lord speaks, that the apostle speaks of here. That if the great purpose of the church of the body is the increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love, then every single member of Christ's body has his own place and his own work to do and his own duty in seeing that that purpose is fulfilled. The great purpose of the church and of Christ's church on earth is not so much increase in numbers as an increase in the edifying of itself in love, in growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not something that is peculiar simply to ministers, elders, or deacons. That is what the apostle says here, is the duty and the work of every single believer. Everyone who is part of the Church of Christ has his duty and his place in this whole aspect of unity, that the church may grow and that the church may increase. That every joint supplieth. That every joint supplieth. It doesn't matter whether it is the wise. Doesn't matter whether it's the knowledgeable. It doesn't matter whether it's the strong in faith or the weak in faith. It doesn't matter who it is that is part of Christ's body. We all have a duty to the unity of the church and to the edifying of one another in love. Now you might say to yourself, well, surely everyone is different. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. It is the measure of every part. The measure that the Lord himself will give to every part. To some he will give to be pastors. To some he will give to be evangelists. To some he will give to be teachers. But be assured of this. It doesn't matter who you are within the bounds of the Church of Christ. He gives you a measure according to the measure, the effectual working in the measure of every single part. Every single part is given a measure of the grace of God. Do you consider yourself as perhaps one of the Lord's people this evening? In the house of the Lord, with the Lord's people, do you first of all know something of the love of Christ in your own heart? Do you know what it is to love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth? Well, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth, then there is a duty laid to your door as part of the body of Christ, and that is that you would edify one another in the bonds of love and of love. And that doesn't matter who you are. God has given to each one a measure of grace. And that measure of grace is to be used in his service, and it is to be used in the service one of another. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and he came to Peter. He came to the disciples, and he got down on his knees before them, and he washed their feet. Peter, first of all, wouldn't be washed at all. And Jesus told him that that if he wasn't washed, he was none of his. Then he says, well, wash me all over. He says, you don't need to be. You're already washed, but I'll come and I will go down and I will wash your feet. And I give you here an example. Even among yourselves, that is the servant greater than his master? Are we greater than Christ when Christ himself washed the feet of the disciples? How much ought we in our service of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the love of Christ and in magnifying that love, how much more ought we to love one another in the bonds of fellowship and in that love of our Lord Jesus? We are to serve one another Even as the hand, even as the eye, even as the nose, even as the ear, they are all united as one. One needing the other. One is not the hand, is not the eye, and the eye is not the hand, but they need each other. Do you love the parts of your body? Do you love your hand? Do you love your leg? Do you love your eyes? Do you love your ears? Well, the apostle says, you are to love the Lord's people as you are part of that body. As you are part of the body of Christ. Now this extends, suggests three things. First of all, we are to watch and care for the temporal good of our brother, praying for him, seeking relief for him, showing concern for him in temporal things, watching and caring, magnifying the care that even the church at Philippi showed to the Apostle Paul in his affliction. They sent and supplied to his necessities, and he commended them for it. They did so without grudging and without complaining. They sent from Philippi to the apostle. But it is not just in temporal. It is in spiritual things. We are, he says, to speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, he says at verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Do we have in everything we do, in everything we say to our brother, his spiritual good? That he would progress in the Christian road, and that we might be able even to say a word in season that would help our brother upon the Christian road. We must look for the spiritual good of our brother. And that, I would suggest, perhaps in three ways. First of all, in preventing evil. Speaking to our brother, in speaking the truth, in love to our brother always, that we would prevent the evil. Indeed, secondly, that we would encourage the good. That we would encourage our brother in the things of the Lord. That we would encourage one another. You know, we live in a day when perhaps of all days, we need to encourage one another in the Lord. We need to speak the truth in love and encourage one another in the things of our Lord Jesus Christ. But even not only preventing evil and sin, not even encouraging the good, but that we would recover our brother. What love there was in the Lord Jesus when he had Peter before him. And we often come back to this, because there you have Peter denying him with curses and oaths. What truth in love was magnified to Peter when Peter saw the Lord on the side of the shore, and he came in repentance, and the Lord spoke to him in love. how we ought to speak the truth in love, that we would recover any backsliding brother. Backsliding brother. All of this, you will notice, proceeds from union with Christ. All of this proceeds from union with Christ and the love of Christ. Go to Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, and he's talking in chapter 12 about union with Christ and the love of Christ. And then when you go on to speak, to see what he says in chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love. A love of the truth, as it is in Jesus. A love of the Lord Jesus Christ. A fervent love towards Him. A fervent love towards your brother, that in love you speak the truth to encourage him. We would encourage one another, united in the bonds of fellowship and of love. It proceeds from union. The Lord's people united to Christ. Speaking the truth in love, you may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Do you know what the whole purpose of the church is? It is that you may grow together. That we may grow together in grace and in knowledge unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading on one of the men who's written on Ephesians. Minister, and he says he gave an example of this. He said to be edified in love. He says often, he says, I've seen people coming into the church, and when they've come into the church, they've not understood much of the service, and much of it is above their head. They just know that that's where they must be because the Lord Jesus Christ is there. And they hear him being preached. But much of the preaching, he says, was going over their heads. They weren't quite understanding it. But as weeks went past and months went past, these people listening were beginning to understand more and more of what was being taught them. He says it's wonderful because they are being edified in love. Learning, growing in grace, growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what you desire this evening? That as we are found together in the bundle of life together, that together we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Edifying one another in the things of our Lord. There are three things that are needful. Three things First of all, there is the need of love. Secondly, there is the need of grace to be able to speak in love. And thirdly, there is the need for a consciousness of sin in ourselves. But the grace of God conquers all three. The grace of God is victorious in enabling a hell-deserving sinner who loves the things of the world and whose heart is set upon worldly things to be changed. For his whole life to be turned around and now to be part of the Lord's people, seeking to edify and to be edified. Remember, it doesn't matter who we are. There's none too wise. And there's none too poor. But that in speaking the truth in love, we can edify one another. We can strengthen one another. We can grow in grace. And we can be made like unto his image, the image of Christ. The love in the Trinity, magnified in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. And through Christ, that love being shed abroad in the hearts of his people, uniting them together in one thing. Love of Christ, the love one of another. The apostle says this, ye know that ye have passed from death unto life when you love the brethren. You've got a lot of twigs, branches, or you've got a lot of cut off twigs off a tree. They may be different shapes, and you get them and you bind them together, and they're bound together and they're one. You won't notice the difference among them so much. All you notice is there's one pile and you can pick them up. One thing binding them together. Cut the binding and they're scattered. The Lord's people are bound together in love. The love of Christ and the love one of another. May it be that together, as the Church of Christ, as a congregation of his people, we would edify one another in love.